Mostly baseball in the conversation so far early today. And why not? It's the ranking sport in action. Larry Durker with a website, 49sFastball.com. 49sFastball.com. A lot of audio archives in there, as well as the typed word, blog-type content. And, well, we get the spoken word within this segment as Larry Durker, recurrent visitor of the program. Larry, it's Charlie. How's your Tuesday going?
Well, the season's going pretty good. We had a real big turnout at the alumni weekend, and that was nice. Sometimes it's mostly just guys that live in Houston, but we had a handful of guys come in from other parts of the country, and I think there were 30-some in all. And that was enjoyable, but from where we were sitting, it was very difficult to watch the game, which was probably a good thing.
Yeah, we'll get to the on-field stuff here shortly. Was there a particular player or two or non-player or two that you hadn't caught up in a particularly long time that it was extra fun to catch up with?
The two guys that haven't been in a long time were some of the left-handed relief catchers, Danny Snyder and Meads. I can't remember his first name, Dave Meads. But, you know, one of them came from New England. The other one came from Oregon or somewhere, so it came from a long way. I think what happens is that guys that have relatively short careers, you know, that's the essence of all the best things they've done. And so it means a lot more to them than somebody like Bagwell or Bidgel or myself that played a long time. But Art Howe was there, and he obviously has been at it a long time, and Phil Garner and myself, and we're usually the ones that are at most of the charity things. And it was good. And then yesterday, they had this thing at Top Golf, which was a fundraiser for the Astros in Action, their charities. And they had that whole thing, all three levels, every bay was filled. And I started thinking about that in contrast to what we used to do with a golf tournament out at Wildcat or the baseball dinner.
Sweating your butts
like
off in July,
you know,
or August.
The times have changed.
Yeah, those Top Golf.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, those Top Golf facilities, they're onto something. I think that started in Japan, where just for lack of space and so many players, they built the multi-layer driving ranges. And now, of course, they're basically golfing nightclubs.
Yeah, it's like bowling for golf, but the food and beverages are more upscale. So, but what the point I was making is that they raise so much money now for charity. They're contributing to both the charities that I'm involved in, and I don't even know how many around town. Probably more than J.J. Watt. Just because they have those raffles at the ball game, and you know everybody buys these raffle tickets, and then they keep half the money for charity, and then they give the rest of the money to whoever wins the raffle. But when you do that 81 times, you raise a lot of money. Somebody told me that they raise like $50,000 or more every game that they had in postseason. So. One of the things, you know, ticket prices are up, yeah, concession prices are up, yeah. But on the other side of that, it's not just the Astros, it's every sports team. It's not just baseball.
Right.
They you know, with the way technology is now and how much TV you have in England, they really have the ability to raise tons of money. And so that's probably a good thing.
All right, to on-the-field matters, I don't mean on the personal level in terms of you losing sleep or ripping your hair out, but the baseball sense in Houston, what's the worry level about the Astros for you?
Well, the worry level is very high right now because they haven't been able to play well at home, and everybody knows that they'll be a better team when they get Altuve back and when they get Springer back and when they get McCullers back. A good indication of that was, I guess, I can't remember the last game or the Saturday game. They had the Mariners had a left-handed pitcher on the mound, and the Astros hit Reddick, and then Fisher, and then Tucker. So they had an experienced left-handed batter and two rookie left-handed batters going up against a left-handed pitcher in the eighth inning, and they didn't have a right-handed pitcher, a right-handed hitter to pinch hit with. So they're, you know, they're not at full strength, or they never would have had all those left-handed hitters facing a left-handed pitcher in the eighth inning when you're tied or one run down. So they should get better. But as you notice, Correa didn't just jump back in there and start hitting home runs. When you've been out about 6 weeks, it takes a little while to get back in the flow.
Larry, you mentioned the obviously the loss of star-level players, but then the impact on depth, and some of the Astros' more high prospects, frankly, haven't looked like major league players in the batter's box, J.D. Davis, Derek Fisher, so forth. But allowing for that, when they're back at full strength, I'm curious, in your day, the question was, do you carry 9 or 10 pitchers on the staff? I am not a fan of the Astros routinely carrying 13, but that's the decision now, 12 or 13. Which absolutely inhibits flexibility on the bench, a pinch runner option. Certainly come playoff time again this year, you're only going to go with 10 or 11 because to carry 13 in a five-game series would be just stupid where you're moving starting pitchers. But what do you think of carrying 13 pitchers on a 25-man roster? Understood, the era of relief specialization and the matchup game, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, Charlie, I hate the DH. I've hated it from the very beginning. And the reason teams have that many pitchers is because they don't need any pinch hitters. They don't ever have to pinch hit for their pitcher. And at one point last year, the Astros only had three guys on the bench, a backup catcher and two other guys. And they had 13, maybe even 14 pitchers. So, you know, if you have regular baseball, what I would call traditional real baseball, you need more guys on the bench. And you wouldn't see 13 or 14 or even 12 pitchers on a staff. Maybe 12 if you've been hit around for a week straight and everyone in the bullpen's down, you might call a couple of guys up for a couple of weeks till you get back to normal. But I don't think you'd see very many teams with as many as 12 if it weren't for the DH. Of course, I could look that up because all you have to do is look at the National League teams and see how many they carry.
Justin Verlander takes his second crack at career win number 200 tonight. Nice round milestone. Do you remember being on the field or part of a game with a real significant milestone attached to it?
I remember, let's see. I don't think I was really was there for anything other than like JR's 300 strikeouts and Scotty's. And maybe somebody's 100th win, but I don't think Don Sutton, when he was with us, you know, hit a 200 or a 250 or a milestone like that. I'm not sure. I had one of the baseball library shows years ago about
right.
a guy who got his 3,000th hit. And this was, you know, circa, you know, 1915 or something like that. And he didn't even know he had it. And the writers didn't even write about it. And it wasn't even discovered or mentioned until a week later. So you're not going to miss many milestones in the media that we have today. I don't think I've seen any of the major ones. I was on the air and I called Nolan's 4,000 strikeout, but 4,000 isn't that much of a milestone when you go by 5,000. So, and I didn't see those.
All right, so you're not living in denial. You didn't give up Mays' 500th home run or Frank Robinson's 3,000th hit or anything like that.
That's right. I saw Eddie Matthews hit his 500th home run off Juan Marichal at Candlestick Park.
All right, the Astros lead Oakland by just 2 games now. The A's are 37-12 in their last 49. Maybe water will refind its level, or the A's just, they are the best team that this side of Boston, at least until the Astros get healthy. Throw a number dart at the board, Larry. The Astros' percentage likelihood of holding on or maybe pulling away again and winning the American League West.
Well, I still think that they'll win it. And if they don't, I'll be very disappointed. If I don't, they'll probably still get a wild card. But then they'll have to engage in a one-game do-or-die playoff. And I think they have too good a team for that. But, you know, I thought we had way too good a team to finish 70-92 in 2000, but we did. So, you know, it's tough. You know, it's the highest league you can be in, and everybody has major league players. And even though the aggregate of the players that are in Oakland right now didn't look like a playoff contending team they do now. So thanks, Shane. And you know, one of the, I don't know if you'd call it an adage, but one thing I used to say was, if we're not getting better, we're getting worse. Because you can't just tread water and be just as good as you were. You have to keep trying to get better, even when you win the World Series.
You weren't in the booth yet in 79, right? Do you know what you were doing in 79? And I referenced that, right? The Astros led Oakland by 11.5. And as good and as confident as the Astros are, thinking, hey, when we get healthy, this is still our division race to lose, you have to be aware that a team was way, way behind you, and now they're breathing down your necks. 79 Astros led the Reds by, I think, 10 games at the All-Star break. And I believe it was Tom Seaver who said, the Astros are going to fall like a lead balloon. And they did.
Yeah, I remember that quote. Yeah, that was Tom Seaver said we were going to fall through like a lead balloon. And what happened was, I looked that up years later to see if we actually choked that much, and we didn't. I think we played a bit over 500 ball in the second half, but they played like 650 ball in the second half. We finished a game and a half back of them. So, yeah, they ate up a 10-run lead in the second half of the season, and it can happen in any season.
Yeah. 78, when the Yankees came from 14 back in July to beat the Red Sox. The Red Sox didn't choke. I mean, they had that head-to-head Boston massacre where the Yankees went and killed them. The Red Sox had to win their last 8 games of the regular season just to get into that playoff they lost in 78. 162 yeah. games, man. It's a lot of ebb and flow.
In 51, the Giants had that year, you know, when the famous Bobby Thompson home run.
13 back in August.
You know, that came after the Giants were down about 13 behind the Dodgers sometime around this time in August.
Correct.
Maybe August 11th, maybe a little earlier. But, yeah, there have been some tremendous comebacks. The 1914 Braves had an unbelievable comeback. But, you know, most people don't know about all that. They just want the Astros to get healthy and start playing better. And the only thing that I would feel a little concerned about, if they start playing better and make the playoffs as a division winner, is I'd like to see a stretch at home where they really play well. A homestand or maybe two homestands where they, you know, win 7 out of 10 or 10 out of 15, and to where they can get that out of their head before the playoffs start.
Larry's website, 49sFastball.com, numeral 4, numeral 9, sFastball.com. Anything in particular you want to note about the site today, Larry?
Not really. I'm out here playing golf with my grandson, and we're having a nice time. And when I get back, I'm going to look up saves, because one of the things I wondered about Seattle when I started looking at run scored, runs allowed, ERA, OPS, all of these numbers, Seattle was only an average team offensively and only an average team defensively. But when I talked to Scott Service, I said, you must be doing a heck of a job, because, you know, your run scored and allowed are about the same and you have an overwhelming winning record. And he said, well, we have a pretty good closer. So then when I look at him, he's like 46 out of 49,
yep,
or something like that.
Yeah, last 27 in a row.
They win. And we were some Astros team. Some of it I had with Billy Wagner, and maybe Lidge setting up or Dotel. But there was one time with Garner where it was Dotel, Lidge, and Wagner. And if they were ahead after 6 innings, they won almost every single time. So the Astros haven't quite had that. You know, they've had some guys save some games, but they've tried so many guys, and they haven't found anybody that consistent. So to look at the Red Sox record, I'm going to go back and look at Kimbrell, how many saves and how many tries, and then look at all the rest of the closers around the league and see if that's why the Astros can have such a large advantage in terms of runs scored and runs allowed. They have by far the best record in that in baseball, but they don't have the best record in baseball. So to me, it's probably coming down to that ninth inning, but I haven't looked up the numbers to assert that yet.
One-run games, the Mariners are 30-14, the A's are 24-10, the Astros are 16-21. And yes, by run differential, the Astros are a significantly underachieving team this season, yet they're still on pace to win 99 games.
I don't see how they could possibly get guys with better stuff in the bullpen than they have now. Presley, the guy that guy, he's throwing mid-90s, got a nasty slider. The guy from the Cubs that blew the save the other day, I can't think of his name right now.
Rondon.
Rondon. Yeah, he's got great stuff. I think Joe Smith is tough to hit. When Devenski is healthy, I think they have the players. They just have to get the intangible part of a bullpen that when you get some momentum, everybody seems to fall into place. And I don't think they've had that.
All right, Larry, go back to hitting them long and straight. Appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Larry Durker on the program.